Hello and welcome to the Urban Vibe Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about holiday tradition. I'm Allison Judge, joined today by...
I'm Vic.
So, today we're going to talk about a number of things. One of those that I was thinking about was the way that when people get together, particularly this time of year, when it gets dark so early and, oh, there's nothing to do but, you know, sit around close to a campfire or a TV, we play card games, we play board games. Sometimes it's something simple like poker, and sometimes it's it's one of those games like Dominion with so many expansions that it's ridiculous to keep track of, and nobody ever plays it the same way twice just because once everybody's together, it's like there are all these cards that no one's even played with. It's always a time when we're teaching people to play board games or card games that maybe they're going to play once. They might not even stick through the whole thing. They might give up. And it's some of the, like, I would say, most... like emotionally engaging time that we spend with our families. It's not really for anything meaningful. It's just, unless you're gambling, but typically we just play with pretend money, Monopoly money, if you will. And I think that the value in it kind of comes from just the inherent value of time with others. And then, you know, sometimes just the presence of somebody is meaningful, even if it's just to bicker at each other about how to play a game or if someone's cheating, or if two people are ganging up on you.
When I was young, the game that really was like that for us, card-wise, was Rummy. Mm-hmm. But everybody had different rules to it, so depending on who you were playing with, it was kind of like a challenge to figure out the rules to the game. But my grandmother did cheat in Rummy quite a lot. She just changed the rules depending on what was happening for her. And I don't know if we ever figured out if she was doing it on purpose or if that was just a part of her personality. And the other one, board game-wise, was usually the classics, Monopoly, Scrabble, Sorry, like the big Hasbro ones.
I know I played Clue a lot with my cousin, and it got to the point where my cousin wouldn't want to play Clue with me anymore because it wasn't fun because I...
Because they memorized all the... Like, all the games you could go through?
Well, we just played Clue so many times, and I figured out how to... I mean... I think it's kind of the same thing every game. It is fun, but...
You needed to rotate. Monopoly or Scrabble.
I remember, like, a lot of the board games that we would bring... would be, you know, for larger groups. And so there would be, like, the real board games, which we had to wait until it got dark out to play those, because we would need other people. But leading up to that, me and my cousins, usually just one-on-one, we would play a board game or a card game, you know, something simple, like the classics, the Monopoly, the Clue, the... There are also all of those, like, cheap spin-offs of Monopoly. There's, like, that company, USAopoly, and all they do is they just...
Anti-Monopoly, too. That was kind of like a statement piece, though, I guess. Maybe that's not, like, an off-brand Monopoly.
I think it's a... It's definitely an interesting, like, juxtaposition. And well, like their whole company's premise is releasing like different versions of Monopoly that have the properties replaced with, you know, this intellectual property or that intellectual property or this concept or this type of photo. I remember there was one like Pugopoly. There was one.
Oh, you're talking about like just the different brands.
Like just
ones.
Spin-offs. Yeah, spin-offs. Yeah. Or like maybe it's from a TV show or something. I know there was one that I actually thought was pretty interesting. And I don't know if it was produced by that company I mentioned. And it was called like Iowa State Fair-opoly.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it had like all of the classic locations in the fairgrounds and a lot of the
yeah, there's entire stores in the mall filled with those things, like gift shops and
yeah, it's, I mean, the only time of year I would ever think about something like that would ever cross my mind is just when you're at one of your family members' houses and you're like, you spent money on an off-brand version of Monopoly?
Yes, because you listen to like, Aunt Shirley loves pugs or loves her Yorkie or her German Shepherd.
Oh, yeah,
and German Shepherd Monopoly.
I think that, I mean, this could be a segue if you wanted to. We'd certainly have more to talk about. We could talk about...
I would like to talk about
ways,
the evolution
the
of
ways,
Monopoly into the holidays.
Yes, no, the way that people end up with so many different off-brand versions of Monopoly is probably because of like the nature of giving gifts and giving something maybe that's
I'm one of those people.
That's
let
humble.
Me tell you. Let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
My little brother's favorite game was Monopoly growing up. And I call him my little brother because he's small. He's like younger than me, but he's
mm-hmm.
huge. He's like a big dude, so it's fun to watch him do like games and stuff still. He's still very involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he does own Anti-Monopoly. He does own Des Moinopoly because I get it for him. But what I got him last year for Christmas was Monopoly themselves came out with a like a expansion pack for Monopoly.
Really?
So it's a free parking expansion pack. And then they also have like two other versions. It's like Pasco expansion and Go to Jail expansion, and there's like a spinner added to the game, new cards, new money, and it's by Monopoly, so you know it all kind of fits. So I got him that,
mm-hmm.
and also in the last couple of years they came out with like all the classic board games in card form, which is like merging both worlds. And I had gotten my boyfriend a copy of Monopoly Deal for like our anniversary or his birthday or something, and it is so fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I try not to buy stuff from Hasbro because I think they are like the definition of an evil like corporation. If everybody didn't know, Monopoly was made by a woman who died like sat alone in her apartment and broke, even though Monopoly was like a hit board game. But
mm-hmm.
besides the fact, those are good games, and I think everybody should try them out. So if you are sworn off playing Monopoly, the card games are like 15 minutes or less.
Mm-hmm. No, I think like... This is a time of year where you've got to do something to pass the time, and you would rather not have awkward conversations. So doing something like Monopoly is actually a fun change of
pace.
In any form.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's really the only time of year where I think people consider it. Unless you're like your brother, you're a real fan.
He has like my mom was at like TJ Maxx or Marshall's
mm-hmm.
or something. He has a brown, almost like furniture-style box that has the Monopoly that's been like inscribed into it with special pieces. Like it's like a 50th anniversary one or something. It gets intense. We also have like
really?
Digital versions.
Mm-hmm.
So I talk about Monopoly for days. But when it comes to family time, other than that, we have Jackbox games on the TV and digital versions of board games as well, so we can kind of like merge both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm teaching my ancient parents how to use their phone and connect it to like an online game so they can play, and it's as close to family time as I think we could get.
I think I've played Jackbox games once, but I hadn't really considered it for family, because, like, I don't know. Maybe like I just I
27
not
versions. You gotta go through those games to figure out what works for you. It's very much like a not one size fits all.
Mm-hmm.
They're expensive though. You have to like invest on the Jackbox bundle packs and stuff.
I don't know. It's not something I've really tried. I guess I haven't had anybody make me do it. Sometimes you're not interested in playing a game. You have to be talked into it by some family member. And it ends up being, like, your favorite game. It's wild. I think a lot of people are... They're a little... unsure whether or not they're willing to learn a new game, like a board game. It is a process. And especially when you played with people who maybe play it every year, it can be scary, but I get a lot of joy out of the process of learning something new and just being asked to play a new board game.
I feel that it could be kind of daunting, especially when, like, you're with people that are not into, like, tabletop gaming or any digital gaming or party games in general, because it can be really intense. But I feel once people really relax into it, it kind of, you know, it does bring everybody together. And mm-hmm. I think the same thing kind of about food. All the time, at least not all the time, the last, like, 4 or 5 years when I've been taking over more and more responsibility from my mother into, like, the holidays, because we all do, like, one big one. So this year, like, Thanksgiving fell on her birthday, so I did, like, all of the cooking, mm-hmm. and I think I'm going to do it for Christmas, too, because she's spent 25 years doing it. I always try to throw in, like, one new thing. So, like, this year we did deviled eggs with candied bacon, and that was kind of fun, but I did ruin my dad's pans with the candy mixture.
It's always, and now this does not just apply to eggs, but I think really anything that is, put on a big plate, anything, there's like a sociological phenomenon that happens. It's rude to take the last one, right? Everybody's gotta take it, and they're like, hey, did you get all of them that you wanted? There's especially a thing with deviled eggs, and that's why I mentioned them, that when it's been the whole day, it's dark, everybody's been here for hours, and the deviled eggs are still sitting out, and it's like, these aren't going to last any longer. We're going to have to get rid of these.
I always make extra food, and we always have leftovers, so people are usually turning away leftovers at the end because they're so full. I try to make sure, like, everybody gets a plate and stuff. I'm not saying, maybe you should be the deviled egg girl and start bringing the deviled eggs. Deviled egg floats? Yeah.
I have.
Boats? What are they? Are they? I don't know. It's like when you have 5 different things and you go down and you can eat them all. Mm-hmm. Deviled egg ones? Fantastic. That's candy bacon.
No, I've seen what you're talking about, but I don't believe I know what they're called, really. What I mean to say is that you make a good point. What was it that you had just mentioned before you went back to eggs?
That you should do it. You should be the egg girl. I mean, it's so for real. People love a good showing of different deviled eggs or, like, holiday mm-hmm. stuff.
I think, leftovers. That was a topic that I think is entirely applicable. I think it's universal. So something that's I find fascinating in my family is the way that they want to do leftovers, because you see, to them, they would much rather return one dish filled with layers of different things.
Yeah.
Then return like seven different layers.
Like little Tupperwares keep the corn.
Of little tiny containers and different lids and different.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Can't be
done. It is ridiculous. And honestly, who has that much Tupperware and that much in their kitchen to begin with? So what ends up happening is they take these huge containers full of so many different types of food that don't mix together at all, and they put them all in the same container, and it becomes something totally new. And I think it becomes something totally new kind of in the way that Jell-O salad is. It's unlike anything because, you know, it takes these flavors that are so far removed from one another and combines them. Combinations that I don't think I could have ever come up with personally.
What colors are your Jell-O salads? Do you do specific ones?
The one that is famous in our family is Limoncello, is what they call it.
Okay.
And it is lemon Jell-O, of course. It's got marshmallows in it. It's got almonds in it. It's got pineapple in it. It's got shredded cheddar cheese in it.
Cheese?
Yes. Okay.
All right.
And it
sounds very Jell-O salad-y.
It's so jarring.
It's similar to my Nana's pizza.
It just tastes yellow.
Ours is Cool Whip, cherry pie filling, crushed pineapple with the juice removed, walnuts, mini marshmallows, and you mix it together.
That sounds a little more appetizing to me than ours. Like, I used to really like ours, but I honestly, I didn't eat any this year. I'm not as excited anymore as I was when I was a kid. Like, I might, yeah. It's a very yellow meal. I love color-coordinated meals. I don't know if you know that about me.
I've been trying to convince the family to invest in a smoker for Christmas because I want prime rib or brisket or something. And I was like, I will smoke it. Enter them on music about, like, be a man behind this track. But I would like to do that. I would like to smoke something. But they won't do it because they're like, where are we going to put it? Whatever. And instead, my father came to me and asked me to make meatloaf instead for the holiday meal. And I was like, in what world is a meatloaf on the same level as prime rib? Okay, though. Like, so now I have to make, like, 8 pounds of meatloaf over holiday break.
8 pounds of meatloaf?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot of meatloaf.
That's a lot of meatloaf.
Yeah. Everybody come get a plate, I guess. I wish for one day to get more expensive meats involved. Like, when I worked at Wakanda, the country club, that's what their holiday meal was. And I was like, we could do a brisket. There's 11 of us. We could share a brisket or something. So it's just going to be the next 3 years of me still trying to convince our family we need that for holiday times.
So you need 11 pounds to feed 8 people?
Listen, a lot of leftovers.
Okay, okay.
That's also including a ham. I was just telling you, there's like a feast. Like, we literally have a feast, and then people eat on it for 3 days. Ham, I did corn casserole for our Thanksgiving. Because of the DMAG holiday, by the way, I liked it from, I think it was like Machine Shed or something that they catered it from. I liked it, so I looked it up, and I was like, I can do this, which is, by the way, just cake mix. It's just cornmeal, Jiffy, on top of cream corn. That's what cream corn casserole is. It's lovely. It's lovely. Never had it before. Oh, so I do all of it. Sweet potatoes.
That reminds me of my great-grandmother.
Trays of food.
I remember she made that all the time. She cooked every single day. For she loved doing it. I think I remember a lot about her and the way that, like, remember I asked her one time if she had crayon apple juice?
Yeah. Good old glass of crayon apple.
And, like, every time after that, that I went to her house, she would offer me crayon apple juice.
That's really nice.
And, you know, this is, you know, I knew her when she was in her 90s. This is my great-grandmother. I just think, I don't know, for some people, like, treating people right is kind of just like an innate part of their character that doesn't go away.
I don't know. I feel like that doubles up with small children who are always, like, attracted to the idea of hanging out with, like, elderly or older people, because I was one of those people. Like, as a 7-year-old, I was hanging out with, like, like you said, like, great-grandparent age people, yeah, watching them sew and converse or play rummy. Every Wednesday we would go out, me and my Nana would go out, who Pink Salad Lady is, we'd go out to like the Chinese buffet, the only like Asian spot in town at that time, because this was like 20 years ago, and in the South, so we didn't have a lot in that area. And this woman was like a seamstress, and her house was basically a mansion for our area. Like, it was huge. And you'd walk in, and it was like a, God, what are they called? Boutique? Yeah, yeah. Boutique of wedding dresses and formal event attire. And I'll remember that forever. I loved hanging out with old people. They took me so many places. First hairdresser I ever met that wasn't, like, from Great Clips was a lady that got furniture from my grandma's shop. And, like, she had a salon in her home. But the home was, like, two very nice trailers. Like, the very nice ones that are like the size of a house connected.
Yeah.
That's so fun. I miss the South. What a cast of characters. RIP all the elderly people I hung out with as a child, though.
I think hairdressers in particular. Well, okay. It might just be because of my hair, but whenever I see it, like a hairdresser, they're always just enamored with it.
Yeah, well, curly hair.
And they're
hair
like, "Can you come back? I wanna play with your hair again."
Yeah, curly hair is something special. When I was in beauty school and stuff, I tried to spend a lot of time learning it, and unfortunately, Aveda isn't the place to learn anything that isn't like straight white people blonde hair balayage situation. If you're not looking for that, I was in the wrong school, basically. But it is fun, and it is also a learning curve. You reminded me. I need to get you onto the curly hair girl website, curly girl method website.
Okay. I'll look at it. That's a little off topic, but it's a good conversation.
Jell-O salad. You were pumped about Jell-O salad.
Jell-O salad. Yes. And I think that, now, our family, we've got a lot of people that aren't from around here. And it's something like clockwork that happens every single time. Whenever we invite somebody, they come in and they ask, what is that? What is that?
What is it? Yeah.
And that's a good question. What is that? Sometimes I don't even really know.
It rides a Great Depression food back. It's going to be great. It's going to be great for all different reasons. We don't have to get into it. I also do that sometimes with the things that I bring randomly, because like I said, I do one or two extra things. But our Thanksgiving and holiday meals usually kind of like soul food recipes, because I didn't grow up in the South, so we like mac and cheese. Sometimes I try to do the greens. Sometimes I do sweet potatoes. Pies instead of a casserole, like stuff like that. So thankfully I don't have to deal with it as much, but I don't know, normalize not discussing the kind of food, and if you just don't want it, ask later. like normalize not getting in people's faces about food at holiday gatherings.
Oh yeah, I think, I mean, there's so much variety that
there
are always going to be questions about what is that. Even it doesn't have to be Jell-O salad. Just the Jell-O salad is, it's one that I find myself asking that question myself. That's the only reason I brought it up. I think though, like,
without the cheese, it makes sense. I don't know about the cheese. it's not a holiday, so I'm going to ask about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, it... Where did this come from? That is a real question. Who brought this? No, but I think a lot of times something doesn't look good. Sometimes something looks strange and questionable. And you try it, and it's your new favorite dish. Sometimes you'll be bringing it the following year.
Like cream corn casserole from Machine Shed.
Exactly.
That's different. There's some other stuff I really like. I didn't start making bacon-wrapped jalapeno poppers till I was up here, so, mm-hmm. like, that's something. Also, I had never had a cheese curd, so, I mean, the Midwesterners got... Mm-hmm. We got stuff up here.
We have some things of our own. They don't feel like they're of around here.
Craft soda? A wild amount of craft soda compared to other places up here.
Yeah, that's true.
Entire aisles in Hy-Vee dedicated to it, like, sections of aisles sometimes. So, I don't know, a lot of treats, a lot of, like, chocolate places and mm-hmm. candies around here. That's fun.
It is. You don't notice some of that when you've lived here.
I don't know. I also distinctively remember not having as many cool clouds where I used to live. Even though we live next to the ocean, mm-hmm. sometimes it was pretty wicked with, like, the gray skies and the green skies and whatever.
Yeah.
And the hurricanes, wicked clouds. But as a whole, mm-hmm. I feel like Des Moines specifically has some really cool clouds.
Oh, yeah. We get, like, other places I live. We get, like, thunderheads and the Great Plains.
I think it has something to do with us living in, like, the Great Plains. Yeah, doesn't it, like, dip down or something? I'm not good at geography, but aren't we in between two mountains or something? You from here. You weigh in on this.
We are at a higher altitude than either the east or west coast, but we are between two mountain ranges, yes.
That's what I'm saying. It's like a bowl effect, a cloud. There's something going on.
There's definitely something like that. I don't know what that's called exactly. I'm not a meteorologist.
Talking about weather, I do hope it snows on Christmas for my six-year-olds. But other than that, it feels like Christmas really snuck up. Uh-huh. I'm going to lightning round what I'm going to do for a game real quick for Christmas.
Go ahead.
To kind of tie everything together. We do like a joke white elephant situation, except
we
it's
do
all
too.
Just me and my mom buying the gifts and uh-huh. then stacking them. And then there's like a dice and we have to roll and you like, everybody mm-hmm. gets an initial gift that's like a gag gift and we have to pass it around and do stuff. This year, I'm going to get a mystery bass fishing set box from Amazon mm-hmm. where it's like a mystery box of like fishing lures. A lot of the people coming are like outdoorsy people.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a copy of Matthew McConaughey's Prayers and Poems book because I couldn't get a life-size cutout version of Keanu Reeves like I wanted to.
Okay.
Apparently, you have to get those licensed. I'm not doing that. Or it's like $100 to pay for a cutout of Keanu Reeves because I thought I'd really enjoy that.
I'm pretty sure like my grandma has a cardboard cutout. He's not the Pope anymore, of Pope Francis.
Perfect. How do I get that?
No, you're gonna have to sweet talk her, I think. No, I'll let you keep going.
That's
what
beautiful.
Else do you have?
I'm gonna get Furbies because a lot of the people are like a lot of old people. All right, there's like a lot of older people, so I think they're gonna hate that. They're gonna be like, oh, I thought we got rid of these in the '90s. And a plethora of imitated food, like squishies, because we have my 6-year-old.
I was thinking like a can of imitation crab. You said imitated food.
No,
I don't know
but, like,
why.
It's like the full, you know, like 4 ounces of butter, like a stick of butter that you would have in your fridge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get like one of those. And then when my dad opens it, he's going to be confused because he's an older gentleman. And he's going to be like, why do I have a statue of butter? Did you just put butter in here? And then it's going to be squishy. So
I gotcha.
They really enjoyed the giant cheese last year.
Interesting.
It's a 5 and below situation. Okay. 5 and below in Barnes and Nobles.
But the thing is, like,
consumerism is bad, but I will bring joy to the household
I think
one time a year.
It's really strange how wonderful a trinket on your desk can be, because it can remind you of, like, the funny situation that you got it in. I do think that, like, you've got a point there with, like, consumerized gag gifts and
mm-hmm.
It's like, I think a handmade gift or something, like, you know, doing a drawing for somebody or a, I don't know, whatever you do, whatever your thing is, that might be
different kind more of fondly joy, remember. That's a but different kind of joy.
Yeah, than being in the middle of a game. I think that something like White Elephant, especially if it's supplemental to like gift giving, it can be meaningful, and it can be memorable. Like, a lot of so. Like, something at our house, we have this ridiculous, what it is it's, like, a parasailing Santa Claus that is, like, a little statue.
See, I love that.
And what he does is he's on a, like, a weighted, like, a scale, pretty much, that spins around. And so on one end, there's, like, a little mountain. And it's just a weight. And then on the other end, there's, like, his parasail, and he's got, like, a fan on the back, and it, like...
This is, like, an item that you would hear about in a YA novel.
Exactly. And it just spins around. And the thing is, my dad, every single year, whenever anybody asks about it, he always says, oh, you know... Your Uncle Bob, he stole this from me. Or no, he stole a hard, like a, wait, in a White Elephant game. he took a hardware set from me, and I ended up with this.
Oh, that's big beef. That's big and beef and family.
The thing is, like, he got so many more years of joy out of it.
That's so much better
than if he would have gotten the hardware set, even though that's, like, obviously the thing that's to a young married couple who are young homeowners. They need, like, equipment. I don't know.
That's a very sweet family lore story. Last quick story to tell before we wrap it up.
Go ahead.
In a very similar but not at all whatsoever way, one time we went to a family reunion, the only time I've been to a family reunion on this side of the family ever, and my grandparents had basically like half the gifts my parents had sent them, had to rewrap them, and then put them into the raffle for the family reunion.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Thanks for listening to the Urban Vibe Podcast. You can find us at Building 1, Room 218B. Visit our website, urbanvibenews.com.